From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with this study of the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Despicable and Destructive Philosophy That the End Justifies the Means. In chapter 3 of the book of Romans, Paul has reminded the Jews of their great heritage as God's chosen people and of their high privilege of having been the recipients of the Old Testament scriptures. The Jews objected to Paul's preaching of salvation by grace alone because he applied it to them as well as to the Gentiles. They accused Paul of preaching that if God was glorified by showing grace to sinners, then he would be more glorified by their continuing to sin. Really, they sought to justify their sin, just as people have done down through the centuries. In repudiating this folly, Paul presents three arguments that clearly show the absurdity of the Jews' position. Dr. Cairns will continue this message shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called Sanctified Souls Are Satisfied. The text is found in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 14. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Note the my, which comes twice. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness. The kind of people who are satisfied with God are marked out as God's own. He is pleased with them, for they are pleased in Him. They call Him their God, and He calls them His people. He is satisfied to take them for a portion, and they are satisfied with Him for their portion. There is a mutual communion of delight between God's Israel and Israel's God. These people are satisfied. This is a grand thing. Very few of the sons of men are ever satisfied, let their lot be what it may. They have swallowed the horse leech, and it continually cries, Give, give! Only sanctified souls are satisfied souls. God Himself must both convert us and content us. It is no wonder that the Lord's people should be satisfied with the goodness of their Lord. Here is goodness without mixture, bounty without stint, mercy without chiding, love without change, favor without reserve. If God's goodness does not satisfy us, what will? What? Are we still groaning? Surely there is a wrong desire within, if it be one which God's goodness does not satisfy. Lord, I am satisfied. Blessed be Thy name.
Yeah.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
When you're facing any argument against the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, go to the root of the argument. Don't waste your time following these fools through all the labyrinth of their perverted thinking. Don't go snipping off a little leaf here and there of the outer growth of their argument. Go to the very root of the argument. And if you lay the axe to the root of the tree, you've destroyed all the rest anyway. That's exactly what Paul does here. His great proposition to these Jews was simple, but to them startling. In effect, what he said to them was, you cannot avoid the judgment of God by your self-serving argument that because your sin serves to show off the glory of God's righteousness, he would be unjust to punish it. And in expounding that proposition and establishing this response, Paul gives three crushing answers to his critics. Now, I say crushing answers. It's amazing when you read some of the learned commentaries in Romans chapter 3, especially among the 19th century German rationalists who thought that they had discovered all wisdom and they knew more than God Almighty himself. It's amazing when you read them to say Paul's answers actually were very weak. They were foolish. They have nothing to them. It only shows what a bunch of educated nitwits they were. They hadn't even begun to understand what Paul was saying. In verse 6, he gives us his first response. God forbid. I've already indicated that the Greek text has no word for God or no word for forbid. This is an English idiom to try to convey the strength and the force. Literally, it means may it not be, let it not be. Some would translate it, perish the thought. But as I've indicated, without getting back into much detail, there is some biblical Old Testament precedence for using this form of speech, God forbid. And many of the most able translators believe that it takes this in the English to carry the force and the vehemence of Paul's thought here. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? Perish the thought that God is unjust in judging Jewish sin. For if that were true, how would he then judge the world? What Paul is saying is, banish from your thoughts every idea of divine injustice. Take out of your argument every suggestion that God is not just. Do not even raise it as a way of scoring a debating point. And again, let me interject, I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but we can learn so much from how Paul argues. I get sickened at times listening even to Bible believers when they're put on the spot in argument. They begin to introduce into the argument merely as a means of cheap scoring of debating points, things that are altogether blasphemous. Paul says, don't do that. God is the judge of men. He could say to the Jews, in truth, we all agree in that. This is something that is ingrained in our very nature. The notion that all creation is either without moral rule or is ruled by an unjust and capricious judge is utterly unthinkable. It undermines the very foundation of all human belief in right and wrong. Understand what I'm saying here. The just lawgiver and judge and the sense of right and wrong go together, and the one argues for the reality of the other. That's why, in dealing with professed atheists, one of the simplest and most telling ways of advancing your argument is to bring them to the reality of right and wrong. And usually, if they know their position very well at all, they will deny there's any such thing. And by the way, this is a by the way within another by the way. That's why your liberal press and your liberal academics and your liberal politicians are so incensed against our current president. Some of you, no doubt, were taken by surprise that there would be such vehement protest at his recent actions in the Middle East. After all, it appeared that there was every good ground for taking the stance that he did. Let me tell you, when you get to the bottom of it all, the protest has nothing to do with the cost of war. It has nothing to do with the legitimacy of war. It has nothing to do with the rights of the presidency. It has everything to do with the fact that there is in the White House a man who dares to speak in the so-called simplistic terms of good and evil. Because the atheistic culture of our day, the secular humanistic culture of our day, does not admit the existence of good and evil, right and wrong. They simply admit what is more preferable according to the mores of current society. So when you talk to one of these characters, you posit the question, if I arrive in your doorstep, shoot your wife, slaughter your children, steal everything you have, would you call that evil? Believe it or not, there are some with their head, I was going to say in the clouds, but rather it's nearer hell than heaven. Their head so sunk in the darkness of their sin that they would not admit that even that is evil. Why? Because they don't think it's evil? No, they're liars in this. All atheists at heart are self-deceiving liars. They are liars in this. The real reason is they know to admit the existence of right and wrong is to admit the existence of a law that is within the very heart and conscience and soul of our being. To admit that is to give up their atheism. For where there's the law, there's the lawgiver, the lawmaker. Where there's a conscience that holds us to a judgment standard, there is a holy judge. Paul knew that. And so he was saying, this is something ingrained in our nature. Banish the thought then that God is unjust. Because to be the judge of the world, God must be just. He cannot be the judge unless he's just. Once you acknowledge a God who's not just, you destroy all religion. You destroy all goodness. You sink man into a cesspool of immorality. And you cut him off from all hope of immortality. But Paul is pressing home here, this is the logical result of the Jewish argument, and indeed I might say by extension of every argument, to escape the just judgment of God. But look again at verse 6, because he has a second crushing reply. He says, God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? Notice how he phrases this. How will God then judge the world? What you say as Jews to escape the judgment of God would remove his judgment not only from the Jews but from all men. How would he judge the world at all? What the Jews plead, could not the Gentiles plead as well? Does Gentile sin not exalt the righteousness of God, at least by way of contrast, as much as Jewish sin? Does the lie of a Gentile not stand in contrast to the glorious truth of God as much as the lie of a Jew? So what Paul is saying is, according to what you say, there would be no such thing as sin. There would be no right, no wrong, no accountability for anybody or for anything. But of course, the Jews would feel that that is altogether wrong. They knew their Bible. They knew what the Scripture had to say. The Word of God was clear. This was a lie. Paul had shown them, if the Jews can be saved apart from Christ, so can the Gentiles. If Jewish sin is not judged because somehow it allows God to set forth the glory of his righteousness, same is true of Gentile sin. And of course, the Jews couldn't believe that. Man, what hypocrites sin makes of us all. We're willing to damn anybody else to the deepest hell as long as we, in our hypocrisy, can persuade ourselves we're all right. Then in verses 7 and 8, Paul reaches his third great argument. The Jews shift their ground again slightly. If the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie to his glory, why am I yet also judged as a sinner? If I am a glorifier of God, even in my untruth, it lets him show forth his truth by contrast. Why am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather let us do evil that good may come. Watch it very carefully here. Paul is saying, your argument leads to the awful conclusion that sin, since our sin ultimately glorifies God by displaying his righteous perfection in contrast to our sin, we should sin all the more. If our sin shows off God's glory, then let us sin all the more. Let us set our sight on the glory of God. That's the end. And how do we promote that end? Then let us sin, because the more sin, the more righteousness, the more glory. That's your thinking, the result of your argument. And yet, you have the audacity to charge this on me and my doctrine. You say, this is what I teach. I can't even speak this language without it. That's why you have the parenthetical thing at the end of verse 5. I speak as a man. This is something that was so foreign to Paul. Even in relating these vicious arguments of the Jews, he had to distance himself from them. I don't want to get into technicalities tonight, but even as he framed the question, there is the suggestion in how he wrote these questions down in the Greek text that while he is giving the language of his opponents, it revolts his very soul. He says, I repudiate this charge. Let us do evil that good may come. The end justifies the means. I repudiate that. I hate that. I throw it back in your own face. Because this is where all your futile attempts to live in sin and yet comfort yourselves that you're not under the danger of God's judgment will lead you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.